Now let's set the record straight. There's no argument over the choice between peace and war. But there's only one guaranteed way you can have peace, and you can have it in the next second. Surrender. Admittedly, there's a risk in any course we follow other than this, but every lesson of history tells us that the greater risk lies in appeasement. And this is the specter our well-meaning liberal friends refuse to face, that their policy of accommodation is appeasement. And it gives no choice between peace and war, only between fight or surrender. If we continue to accommodate, continue to back and retreat, eventually we have to face the final demand, the ultimatum. And what then? When Nikita Khrushchev has told his people, he knows what our answer will be. He has told them that we're retreating under the pressure of the Cold War, and someday, when the time comes to deliver the final ultimatum, our surrender will be voluntary, because by that time, we will have been weakened from within spiritually, morally, and economically. He believes this because from our side he's heard voices pleading for peace at any price, or better rev than death, or as one commentator put it, he'd rather live on his knees than die on his feet. And therein lies the road to war, because those voices don't speak for the rest of us. You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard around the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance. Winston Churchill said the destiny of man is not measured by material computations. When great forces are on the move in the world, we learn we're spirits, not animals. And he said there's something going on in time and space and beyond time and space, which, whether we like it or not, spells duty. You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
Wow. Giving in. Giving up. Quitting. Surrendering. It's not something we think about doing, is it? We watch a video like this and we say we as Americans will never surrender, and yet we're reminded that we as Christians might be called to surrender. This stirs our passion, it moves us, it allows us to see just how important this great nation is that we live in, but it reminds us also that we have something else to do, that we are called as Christians to, in fact, surrender. Psalm 37:7 says this. It says, surrender yourself to the Lord and wait patiently for him. Does that sound right? Can we actually admit that we are called to surrender ourselves to the Lord when everything about us as Americans tells us that we can never give in, but as Christians, we are called to look up and live in Jesus Christ? Today, we're going to talk about surrender and how we are called to surrender on this earth that we live in. Let me give an example of this. An old retired doctor became very bored with retirement, decided to open a walk-in medical clinic. So he put a sign up outside the building that said, Dr. Geezer's Clinic, get your treatment for $500. If not cured, get back $1,000. Dr. Young, who was positive that this old geezer didn't know beans about modern medicine, thought that this would be a great opportunity to get himself $1,000. So he went and visited Dr. Geezer's clinic. And this is what transpired. Dr. Young went up to Dr. Geezer. He says, Dr. Geezer, I have lost all taste in my mouth. Can you please help me? Dr. Geezer says, nurse, please bring medicine from box 22 and put 3 drops in Dr. Young's mouth. Dr. Young screamed at the top of his lungs. He said, ah, that's gasoline. Dr. Geezer says, congratulations, you've got your taste back. That will be $500. Dr. Young gets annoyed by this, and he goes back after a couple days figuring to recover his lost money. Dr. Young says, Dr. Geezer, I have lost my memory. I cannot remember anything. Dr. Geezer says, nurse, please bring medicine from box 22 and put 3 drops in the patient's mouth. Dr. Young says, oh, no, you don't. That's gasoline. Dr. Geezer says, congratulations. You've got your memory back. That'll be $500. Dr. Young's now very upset, very annoyed, and after losing $1,000, he leaves angrily but comes back after several more days, now more than ever inclined to get his money back. Dr. Young goes up to Dr. Geezer. He says, "Dr. Geezer, my eyesight has become weak. I can hardly see." Dr. Geezer says, "Well, I don't have any medicine for that, so here's your $1,000 back." Dr. Young looks down, studies the money, and says, "But this is only $500. Dr. Geezer says, "Congratulations, you got your vision back. That'll be $500. Dr. Young finally gave up. There is a lesson to be learned here. It's not easy. It's not easy to give up. This is not in our nature, folks. We are not people that like to surrender. The word surrender is defined in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, means to yield to the power of another or to give up completely to another, especially as a prisoner. It goes on to say that one who surrenders gives up possessions or someone or something. Are we willing to do that? That's a tough thing to swallow, especially when we're in a place that celebrates victory. That's tough. Are we willing to do that? How excited are we to surrender ourselves or our things to the will of our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior? Tony Evans shares this true story. He says, a famous general, we know him, Douglas MacArthur, was meeting his foe, a Japanese general. The meeting was set up for the Japanese general to officially surrender. The Japanese general stuck out his hand to shake MacArthur's hand, and MacArthur quickly said, "I cannot shake your hand, sir, until you first surrender your sword. We can't be friends as long as that sword is hanging by your side. Give me the sword, and we'll shake hands." Regarding that, Tony Evans says this. He says, a lot of us want to shake God's hand while we carry our sword of will. We must surrender our wills to God before we can be in complete fellowship with Him. Now, that's tough to do. We like our will. We lean on our will. And in most cases, we trust our will. And when we say, "I will," and we don't listen to God, it normally doesn't end up too well. Surrender oftentimes equates loss or weakness. And it suggests that through this loss, we will be bound or shackled, or detained, or restrained by our captors. There's examples all over Scripture regarding this. In 2 Samuel 10:19, we read that when Hadadezer's allies saw that the Syrians had been defeated, they quickly surrendered to David and became his servants. And thus, the term surrender is most often associated with a war or battle in which the person who surrenders loses his fight and his force and his fame and his freedom. Let me ask you this. Have we ever experienced this battle or war of wills that pits man versus God? You see, our will oftentimes wars with God's will. In most cases, when we say, "I will," God says, "You shouldn't." When we say, "I will," God says, "I know better." But we continue to move forward saying, "God, I will do what I want to do because my will is greater than yours." We've experienced this. I mean, Paul says in Galatians 5:17, "For we naturally love to do evil things that are just the opposite from the things that the Holy Spirit tells us to do. And the good things that we want to do when the Holy Spirit has His way with us are just the opposite of our natural desires." These two forces within us are constantly fighting each other to win control over us, and our wishes are never free from their pressures. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:11, to keep away from the evil pleasures of this world. They are not for you, says Peter, for they fight against your very soul. Folks, we're not talking about military war. This isn't a physical war. This is a spiritual war which pits man's will in an evil world versus God's will and the truth and accuracy of His word. Sinners don't want to surrender. They don't want to give up. They don't want to look up. Rather, they just want to live it up. Is this what God wants? I mean, we can look at our past and we remember those days, I'm sure. We remember when we said, "I never knew Christ back then. I never surrendered to God. And I remember how I lived and I remember how I looked and I never want to live like that again and I never want to look like that again because on that day or on those days, I made a decision and I chose to leave that life behind. In essence, I said, my will is not greater than God's will, at some point you might have said, I surrender. And when we do this, our lives change. Everything in our world changes. You see, if we are not surrendered to God, we are most likely submerged in the world. So from a worldly standpoint, when we choose not to surrender, we continue on with the battle of wills, our will for us versus God's will for us. It's a battle of words, our words versus God's word. It's a battle of ways, our way versus God's way. And we choose not to surrender, regardless of what it's doing to ourselves and our friends and our families. Because we think that our self-imposed will and ways and words are too good to give up. Sinners don't like surrender. Now, folks, here's the truth. We're all sinners. And each and every one of us at one point in our lives, and maybe you're still there, has said, my will is greater than God's will. And so when it comes to this world and my desires, we just say, I will. God has something to say about this. Let's look at our sermon text today. This comes from Romans 6. It's actually 12 through 23. You're not going to hear the word surrender, but you're going to hear some things that are going to make you see that word surrender, especially with what we're talking about today. Here's what Paul has to say. Starting with verse 12, he says, do not let sin control your puny body any longer. Do not give in to its sinful desires. Do not let any part of your bodies become tools of wickedness to be used for sinning. But give yourselves completely to God, every part of you, for you are back from death and you want to be tools in the hands of God to be used for his good purposes. Sin need never again be your master. For now you are no longer tied to the law where sin enslaves you, but you're free under God's favor and mercy. Does this mean now that we can go ahead and sin, not worry about it? For our salvation does not depend on keeping the law, but on receiving God's grace. Paul answers his own question. He says, of course not. Don't you realize that you can choose your own master? You can choose sin with death, or else obedience with acquittal. The one to whom you offer yourself, he will take you and be your master, and you will be his slave. Thank God that though you once chose to be slaves of sin, now you've obeyed with all your heart the teaching to which God has committed to you. Now you're free from your old master sin. You become slaves to your new master, righteousness. I speak this way, using the illustration of slaves and masters, because it's easy to understand. Just as you used to be slaves to all kinds of sin, so now you must let yourselves be slaves to all that is right and holy. In those days, when you were slaves of sin, you didn't bother much with goodness. And what was the result? Well, evidently not good. Since you're ashamed now even to think about those things you used to do, for all of them end in eternal doom. But now you're free from the power of sin and are slaves of God, and his benefits to you include holiness and everlasting life. And then this last passage, a passage we've all heard, a passage that we know. Paul says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How many of us are willing to say today, I surrender to my Savior? God, you drive me. You lead me. God, you take the wheel. God, I give you my will. And God, I surrender fully and wholly to you. You know, interestingly enough, Jesus surrendered to his Father. In Mark 14, 36, Jesus said as he prayed in Gethsemane's garden awaiting his captivity and crucifixion, he says, take away this cup from me, yet, Father, I want your will, not mine. Jesus said, essentially, I surrender to you, Father. In Luke 23, 46, as he hung on the cross, Jesus shouted to his Father, Father, I commit my spirit to you. And with those words, he died. Our Savior surrendered to the will and the word and the way of his Father. And folks, if it's good enough for Jesus, it's got to be good enough and done by us. So how do we do this? Look at verse 13. How do we do this? How do we surrender? Paul says, give yourselves completely to God, every part of you, every part of you. When we give ourselves completely to God, we do so through three ways. We do it truthfully, we do it faithfully, and we do it wholly. In essence, we say, God, I know you want all of me. I'm not willing oftentimes to give you all of me. And so typically what we do is we say, God, you can have some of me, but I'm still going to hang on to some of my will. Because there's a lot of things I like to do on this earth that really don't align with your will, but I don't want to give them up. And God says, I want all of you, every part of you. And you can't keep anything from me. When we say, God, I surrender, and we do so completely and wholly, fully, faithfully, God becomes our captor. He becomes our savior. He becomes our master. Some will say, I don't want to lose my freedom, and I can tell you this. We are slaves to something or someone. We are never free. We are never free from anything. We are enslaved to something or someone. That is the definition of our verse of freedom. Now the question is, what do we want to be enslaved to? Who do we want to be our master? Are we captivated by our sin? Are we enslaved by it? Or can we say today, I surrender to it? Today more than ever, we have to see that we have a responsibility to God to give him our all. Think of verses 16 through 18. Paul says, don't you realize that you can choose your own master? You can choose sin. And then, of course, Paul lays out, he says, if you choose sin, you're going to die. And when you die and leave this earth, there will be nothing else except damnation for those people that choose not to make God their master. That's not a popular term in today's church. Did he just say damnation? I can't believe he said damnation. This feels like a fire and brimstone sermon. What's he doing? That's not right. Moving on, he says this. He says, the one to whom you offer yourself, he'll take you and be your master, and you will be his slave. Thank God that though you once chose to be slaves of sin, now you've obeyed with all of your heart the teaching which God has committed you. Now you're free from your old master sin, and you've become slaves to your new master righteousness. Folks, we are either mastered by sin or we are mastered by God's Son. And his Son wants all of us, because that was the perfect example given by Jesus. You see, we can't just give God part of us. We can't say, God, I'm going to give you part of my will. We can't do it. You see, God chastened and rebuked the church of Laodicea in Revelation 3:16. Do we know why? He called that church, remember the word? He called the church lukewarm. He said, you're lukewarm, so I will spit you out. See, a lot of people today say this. They say, well, if I come to church occasionally on a Sunday, I must be saved, and I can tell you you're not. Sorry. I know that's not a popular thing to say. But if you say, I'll just come to church, I'll sit in a pew, I'll listen to the sermon, I'll sing a few songs, I'll give my money and I will leave and I'll be saved, I can tell you that's not the way it works. That's called surrendering some of your will, not all of your will. As Christians today, we are called to give everything that we have to God, and that means all of us, every part of us, and nothing can be withheld or restrained from God. He wants all of us. Paul said in Romans 12:1, give your bodies to God, let them be a living sacrifice, holy, the kind that he can accept. This is our offering. Now, I love this word in this passage, holy. A lot of us know that word. Robin, if you're a Batman and Robin fan, Robin uses that word a lot. Holy is interesting because it means moral and ethical perfection. It's God's nature. And you say, well, wait a second, I can't be that. I can't be holy. I mean, if that belongs to God, I can't be holy. And we know that we will never, ever, ever reach that point of holiness. But we got to strive for this. You see, that's the bar that God sets before us. He says, if you're going to be part of me, if you're going to give me all of you, God says, here's what you got to do. You're going to have to set the bar high, and you're going to have to be holy, and you're going to have to be righteous. That's our offering. James said in James 4:7, give yourselves humbly to God. This is our surrendering. And lastly, Jesus said in Matthew 16:24-26, if anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For anyone who keeps his life for himself shall lose it. What profit is there if you gain the whole world and lose eternal life? This is our sacrificing, offering, surrendering, sacrificing. You see, Peter recognized this. He said to Jesus in Mark 10:28, referencing himself and his fellow disciples, he says, we've given up everything to follow you.
Have we? Could we say that? If Jesus were standing before us, could we look Jesus in the eye and say, Jesus, I've given up everything to follow you? Or would Jesus say, no, you haven't. You think you have, but no, you haven't. You see, if we give up everything, we lose everything. We surrender. We leave everything behind that we thought was once important. This world is no longer important. We don't live by the world, we live by the Word. And that means that our relationships are centered on Jesus Christ. That means that our work is centered on Jesus Christ. That means that every single thing that we do, whether we look at it, whether we read it, whether we listen to it, how we identify it, is centered on Jesus Christ. Have we said, I surrender to my Savior? What am I willing to sacrifice? How much am I willing to offer? What am I willing to surrender? Oswald Chambers once said, the meaning of sacrifice is the deliberate giving of the best I have to God that we may make it His and mine forever. If I cling to it, I lose it. And so does God. You see, God knows that good sacrifice and surrender can do a lot for us. And He also knows what can happen if we refuse this. In Jeremiah 38, 14 through 28, we read about King Zedekiah, who after persistent warnings by the prophet Jeremiah to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar in order to live in peace and save Jerusalem, he discounted Jeremiah's godly message and subsequently was overtaken in the plains of Jericho by the Babylonians. By not surrendering, he was forced to watch his sons be slain. And his own eyes were gouged out, and he was then led into captivity. There's a lesson in this story. God knows best. God's will is always best. And God knows that surrender of ourselves is always best. Pastor Michael Shannon says, quote, there is survival in surrender if we surrender to the will of God. In verses 17 through 23, Paul illustrates the concept of surrender and enslavement, strangely, and survival. Look at verses 22 and 23. He says, but now you're free from the power of sin and you're slaves of God, and His benefits to you, here it comes, include, there's this word, holiness, and here's your survival and everlasting life. He says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's the survival. Now, folks, on this day of love, this is Valentine's Day. I hope you have your dinner reservations. I hope that you've done something nice for your family. We've already exchanged our Valentine's gifts. But I can tell you this, on this day of love, and this is incredibly important, on this day of love, we need to make sure that we are going to spend eternally with our loved ones more and more days of love with them. You see, a lot of people would say, I'm just concerned about getting through this life. And I can tell you this, once this life ends, a better life begins. That is what we have to look forward to. This is what God's Word tells us to study and look at and do. This is what we are called to do. But do we understand it? Dr. Theology, Edgar James, says this. He says, the believer who was once in bondage to sin is now free from that bondage. He's no longer a servant of the sin nature. He no longer has the sin. But the paradox of the Christian life is that although the believer is free from sin, he's enslaved to righteousness. The former slavery of which he was ashamed produced death. The new slavery, however, produces righteousness with its resulting new life. This righteousness, not sinfulness, this righteousness that we are enslaved to produces a freedom like we've never known. Folks, think back to the time when you were immersed and enslaved by that sin. Remember how you felt. Every day when you'd get up and think, this is all I got in my life. I know people right now that are enslaved to gambling debts and pornography. I know that they're enslaved to alcohol and drug addiction. I know that they're enslaved to spousal abuse and not being a good husband or a good wife. I know that they're enslaved to this each and every day. And they say, I can't get out of it. And God says, I can get you out of it, but you have to surrender. And a lot of people say, but I'm not willing to surrender. I don't know how to surrender. This is the importance of God's house. This is the importance of God's message through God's Word. Today we have to know how to surrender. Jesus said in Mark 8:35, if you insist on saving your own life, you'll lose it. Only those who throw away their lives for my sake and the sake of the good news will ever know what it means to really live. That sacrifice, That's surrender. Are we surrendered to righteousness? Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Jesus, and he gives us, he helps us to live in this righteousness. Joe Stoll says this. He says, when God told his people to love the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, it was in the context of his urging them to surrender their lives to him. From God's point of view, says Stoll, life with him is far more than just trying to be good. It's always about relationship. Relationship in which surrender is the way we express our grateful love to him. Jesus, an amazing love for us, surrendered himself on the cross to rescue us from our helpless bondage to sin and set us on a journey to all that is good and glorious, end quote. You see, our surrender to righteousness helps us to overcome our enslavement to sin. And folks, let me make sure we understand this. Overcoming is all about winning. Overcoming is all about winning. I'm a sports fanatic, and I can tell you that overcoming is all about winning. When you see the underdog win, when you see the team that should never win win, you know then that overcoming is all about winning. Ironically, the idea of surrendering doesn't usually conjure up thoughts of winning. We just don't want to quit. We don't want to give up. We don't want to give in. This is not our nature. I've never seen athletes who want to go out there, unless they're throwing the game, who want to go out there and say, I concede. You win. I just want to lose, because losing's great. It's an epidemic. It's a disease. Coaches tell you never to ever think about wanting to lose. And yet today I'm telling you that God says that we have to surrender. And you say, does that mean I'm losing? And I say, no, that means you're winning. That means you're winning. God doesn't want us to be losers. God wants us to be winners. Winners in Jesus Christ. Winners that know what it means to know about and then look forward to eternal life. A little girl who had sat in the church service for over 90 minutes, realizing that the offering hadn't even been taken, the benediction had not even been given, leaned over to her mother as the minister just rambled on and on and on. She leaned over to her mother and whispered in her ear, Mommy, if we give him the money now, will he let us go? That's called giving up and giving in. Don't even think about doing it, folks. If I see somebody whispering in the ear of another, I'll know what you're doing. But that girl was giving up. That girl was giving in. Surrender is oftentimes associated with the concept of war and crisis. And this is made clear in Romans 7, 21 through 25. Folks, I'm going to preview this. There are many passages in Scripture I love. This is my top three right here. Many times we put Paul in elite status. I mean, we look at Paul and we're like, man, this guy was like the greatest leader of the church. He's the man that built the church. This is the guy we should pattern our lives after. And then you read Romans 7, 15 through 25, and you're like, wow, he's just like us. He's a misfit. He messes up. He obviously struggles and battles. Listen to what he has to say here. This is Paul talking. Romans 7, we're going to give you 21 through 25. He says, it seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned, but there's something else deep within me in my lower nature that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. In my mind, I want to be God's willing servant, but instead I find myself still enslaved to sin. So you see how it is. My new life tells me to do right, but the old nature that is still inside me loves to sin. Oh, what a terrible predicament I'm in. Who will free me from my slavery to this deadly lower nature? Thank God it has been done by Jesus Christ our Lord. He has set me free. We read those words, we look at Paul, and we say, wait a second. He struggles just like me. He's got the same battles and the same wars. Folks, we all fight this war. I fought it last night. I was in a terrible mood. Terrible mood. I even told Cam, I said, this is God's will, or this is Satan's will. Satan's trying to destroy me before church. I was so mad. And you say, why? Because Illinois lost to Northwestern. You don't lose to Northwestern, folks. You have hit the bottom of the barrel when you lose to Northwestern. Man, was I mad. I was walking around, I was like, Northwestern? Really? And I was like, oh, now I know what's going on. Okay. Got to surrender. See, I get Paul. I don't know what, he didn't care about Illinois Northwestern. They didn't care about them. But Paul had his struggles and he had his battles and he had his wars. And I got my struggles and I got my battles and I got my wars. You may laugh and say, man, you're a sick dude if you're that concerned about sports. And that's why I love Romans 7, 15 through 25. Because it reminds me that I may just have a little bit of a problem. We got to surrender. I love Luke 18, 19. This is one to remember, to memorize. Only God is truly good and no one else. Why do I say that? Why do I even read that? Only God is truly good and no one else. Let me tell you why. Because there's a lot of people inside and outside the church today that will say this. I'm good enough. I'm a good person. I've never killed anybody. I've never committed adultery. There's two of the Ten Commandments right there. Never made a graven image. Wouldn't even know how to. There's three. So that means I'm good. And God says, no, you're not. None of us are good. None of us. And if we say I'm good enough, you know what people say I'm good enough do? When they say I'm good enough, they say, God, you can have some of my will, but not all of it. People who say I'm good enough live to just be good enough. We're not good enough. We never will be good enough. Folks, here's the startling revelation of the Covell Community Church today. None of us are good. It's true. See, I try to allow you to see, like Paul allowed his people to see, that even your pastor is not good. I don't like Northwestern. I never have. I'm not good. Neither are you. So we're all in this together. We are sinners, fighting the fight, battling the battle, and trying to win the war. And none of us are good enough. And so if you say, well, I'm good enough, God will let me, and I can tell you this, you're going to have to look for another book because his book does not say this. It just doesn't say this. We're not good enough. Rick Warren says this. Rick Warren says surrender is hard work. In our case, says Warren, it requires intense warfare against our self-centered nature. According to Romans 7, 21 through 25, Paul understands this nature. The victor is the very person who surrenders to his Lord and Savior. 1 Corinthians 15, 53 through 57. You might have heard this at a eulogy, a wake, a funeral service. I'm going to read it to you. This is just a great passage that talks about winning. Again, it's Paul talking here. He says, for our earthly bodies, the ones we have now that can die, must be transformed into heavenly bodies that cannot perish but will live forever. When this happens, Paul says, when this happens, then at last the scripture will come true. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where then your victory? Where then your sting? For sin, the sting that causes death, will all be gone, and the law which reveals our sins will no longer be our judge. How we thank God for all this. It is he who makes us victorious through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do we understand this? Do we understand that surrender makes us victors? This is how you win. This is how you win the war. This is how you win the fight. When you surrender. Last night we were going to bed and my wife said, she said, I just want to be more like you. And I said, no, you don't. She said, "But you have grace. You show grace." And I'm thinking, where were you 20 minutes ago? Where were you at? Folks, none of us are good. But if we trust Jesus Christ, we can be great. Because we can win this war. But it won't be because we're good enough. If we're surrendering, we're winning. We're winning life's crises and we're winning life's wars. John tells us that we can defeat sin and win that battle by believing that Jesus is truly the Son of God. 1 John 5, 4 and 5. The Apostle Paul uses the words overwhelming victory in Romans 8, 37. Someone once said that to surrender to Christ is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was me. I agree. Aren't we tired of fighting this fight and constantly losing this battle? Folks, we are either mastered by sin or we're surrendered to his son. There is no gray area. Let me tell you where the gray area is. The gray area is when someone says, I'm good enough. That's gray. God doesn't operate in the gray. It's black and white. Black and white. Which do we choose? Are we mastered by our sin or are we surrendered to his son? Are we willing today to say this, God, I surrender and I give myself completely to you. Surrender is not doing more work and doing more good to win life's battles. Surrender is realizing that we are not good and that that will not work in giving us and assuring us eternal life in heaven. Are you willing to give everything to God? If you are, you'll say this. My sin, God, is now yours. I give it to you. and I give you my will too. This is full and faithful and truthful surrender. And when we give up and when we look up, we will give in and we will long to live in righteousness. You see, this righteousness is our indication that we are living a surrendered life. Free from the bondage of sin, this righteous, surrendered life is now mastered by God's Son. Folks, surrender is not about losing. It's about winning our war on sin. What are we willing to give up? How much are we willing to give God? Today, are you willing to say, God, I want you to take all of me. I want you to take all of my will. Every single thing that I have done that's not made me well, I need you to take it. And I need you to change me because of it. There's an old hymn called I Surrender All. We've sung it. We still sing it. We remember that song. I can't remember because I'm 45 and I've had 3 concussions, but I think that was a song that brought me to Jesus Christ. I think that was the one that made me do the walk down the church aisle. I never remember. There's 2 songs I always get confused. It may have been that one. I don't know. Probably sung that song in the church on that day led by Dean and Betty Benton. But that was a day when I came to Jesus Christ, when I came to faith in Jesus Christ. I surrender all because I realized even at 10 years old that it was time for me to give God my all. God wants us to sacrifice and surrender our all because Jesus did this for us. So are we willing to say today, I surrender everything. My bank account, my home, my work, my relationships, my children, my car, my life, everything to God today. So today, folks, we're going to do something a little bit different. I don't know if you know this. I have my life insurance license. That's right. I am a licensed life insurance agent. That's right. I can fix you up with a funeral pre-need at any point in your lifetime because I got a life insurance license. That and 50 cents get you a cup of coffee, just to let you know. But I can tell you this. Every day in my secular job, I meet with families to ensure that they're going to be okay, that when death occurs, they're going to be prepared and provided for. I have another job, and that job is that of the pastor of the Covell Community Church. I don't need to use my life insurance license, but I do need to use this. I need to use God's word to share with you this. I cannot get you to sign on the dotted line. I cannot provide you eternal life, but Jesus Christ can. It's my job to introduce you to this policy. This policy is found in his word, and his word is perfect. And it ensures us that when we believe in Jesus Christ, you will be protected for eternity. That's what God's word can offer you today. So I ask today that we will collectively, as a unified body here at this church, that we're going to bow our heads together if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've strayed, if you've got marital problems, if you've got financial problems, if you have got relationship or work problems, if you've got any type of problems, if you say, God, I'm the problem, bow your head today with me, I pray. Close your eyes and ask today that God would help you to see that we are called to surrender all. Our Heavenly Father, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and we put ourselves before you as an ultimate sacrifice. So often we say, God, I'll give you some of my will. Well, today I pray that everybody in this church will say, I give you all of my will. Today I pray that we would be willing to say, I surrender. That will leave our sins behind, that will leave our problems behind, and that will trust in you now more than ever. You have given us this assurance of eternal life, but it's up to us in our lives to do something with it. And so I pray today that we would understand and embrace this concept of surrender. We put this before you today as we collectively say, I surrender. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, we are going to sing a song today we've never sung before in this church. This is one that was popular not that long ago. Let's stand and sing this song. It's called Should Have Been Me. All right, is it just me or does that sound like a country song? It really does. I think about Kay every time I listen to that song. Kay, I've listened like 3 times. I think of you. All right, good song. That, by the way, I think those guys are from Illinois. I think they are from Elgin, if I'm right. You'll want to check that out. Citizen Way, good band. All right, folks, well, here it is. This is all about surrender. We're still new enough in the new year to realize that God wants all of us. I pray that we'll be willing to give him all of us. But I pray today that as we surrender our lives to him, that we'll understand what it means to win. We'll get a better view of victory. That's important. That when we leave this church, we'll know that we're all winners, not losers, because we've surrendered to Jesus Christ. Let's go before our Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for making it known to us what we're supposed to surrender. You and all of us, every part of us. We can't utilize our own wills in this life. And so we pray today that we would lean on your will. And I pray that you'll teach us how to be better husbands and wives, better parents, better employees and workers, and better stewards, better attendees of our church. And I pray today that you would help us to be better Christians and better servants. Help us to live like Jesus and look like Jesus and to believe in Jesus each and every day. And I pray that as we meet new people each and every day, that they would see people that are fully surrendered. Let us be those examples, I pray. Help us today in all that we do. Keep us safe as we return to our homes. And thank you for this time of blessed worship that we are encouraged to attend and to enjoy. And it's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everyone.